All right, Dallas Braden coming up in just a moment. The Jays in a position to clinch, you know, over the next 24 hours. And I believe the magic number is down to 2. So a couple of wins for the Jays or a loss or 2 for Seattle or the Angels or Detroit, who somehow are magically still in this, the Tigers, would put the Jays in a position to clinch. And I think we all know that that's where it's going. And that'll start next week. And we know Rio will be on the mound to start things off. And then beyond that, it's likely Taiwan Walker. Oof. And then who knows where it goes from there. Maybe Shoemaker.
A little thinner.
Yeah, probably Shoemaker, I would think. But Robbie Ray going tonight, his numbers are just off the charts bad, man. Their pitching staff is a mess. Like, it really is. Even the bullpen can't hold up because Romano's hurt and Giles is out. Hatch had a great, you know, first half of the season, and he has been an absolute disaster. Wilmer Font is a pitching machine. It's brutal. Like, it really is ugly. But they're going. They're really doing it here. They're going to make it to the playoffs and likely play Tampa in the first round. Maybe the Sox. Maybe the Indians. And to talk about it, we're joined now by longtime MLB-er, NBC Sports in California, and the Starting Nine podcast back on Overdrive. Here is Dallas Braden. What's happening, Dallas?
I'm doing well. You have me excited as all get out for the Jays right now, especially on the pitching side of things.
Well, we might need to fly you up here, dude. You ever been to Buffalo before or what?
I've been to Buffalo. Great wins. But look, it's a tough situation right now for the Jays as far as the pitching staff goes, but that's why you got Ryu, right? That's why you made the move for Walker, and that's because if you thought you were going to be in this situation right here, right now, well, now you feel like you've got a chance because you got to win 2 of those ball games, and you'd like to win the first 2. And if you can run those 2 guys out there, that's probably your best shot. So I think that's where the Jays set right now. And you said it. There's still some shuffling that can occur at the top of this seating here. So while it looks like it's going to be the Rays, who knows? There's still some meat left on this bone. And that, I mean, that pitching staff for the Rays is a buzzsaw. So I think the Jays should be happy and excited about where they're at right now, especially maybe the way the roster has sort of underperformed. But you're happy to be here right now in this year, the way that things have gone.
How far do you think the Jays have to go as far as when this rebuild gets to the point? I know they brought in Ryu. Roark has been a bit of a disaster. But when they want to take that next step, how far do they have to dig in and add pitching to make them a legit contender? Like, how far away are they from that?
Well, that all depends really on their comfort level and what they're ready to part ways with in terms of prospects, right? And in terms of some frontline guys. Like, are you kicking the tires on a Nate Pearson? You can't be, right? Like, that's not a guy that you're thinking about moving. That's a guy that you probably would like to have around for the long haul. So that's a guy you would like to be able to insert at some point in time and consider yourself a contender because he has, quote unquote, arrived. But that's really what it's about, is where the system is and what they're willing to move around in order to supplement the young lineup that is getting better every day, that is going to continue to get better every day. And given the course of 162, maybe you like your chances, but you know you're going to have to reinforce it with guys who get outs.
With Dallas Braden. Well, we've also discussed a lot about how the analytics are kind of running the ship here. Like, Charlie Montoyo was the one, I guess, making the call on the field, but really it's coming from up top. And a lot of these arms just are simply not capable of going the distance anyway. They're not capable of getting through the order twice, let alone attempting to go through a third time. Like, Roark's not doing it. Shoemaker's not doing it. But Ryu could. You know, Ryu is a guy where I know he's not an innings eater historically, but he is capable of going into the seventh inning, maybe the eighth inning. But the analytics just will not allow for it. And he gets pulled after 6 every single outing. He goes through the lineup twice, and then they pull the pin, and he walks back to the hotel, and the game continues. And it is infuriating because I understand the analytics, I understand the importance of it, but there's got to be an element of old school and an element of reading the room and saying, we got to give him a shot to go a third time through. and I hope it happens next Tuesday in game one of the wild card game. Where do you stand on that whole philosophy?
I am a huge proponent of letting the two most important things in my mind in a baseball game in the heat of the moment, I'm letting those two things tell me just how good things are going for the guy on the mound. And the number one thing is the baseball. What's the baseball look like? Is it moving? Is it coming out of the hand clean? Does the breaking ball have depth on it? Can he put it where he wants in the strike zone, right? What does the baseball look like? And then the other thing is that other team. That other team's going to tell me just how good my stuff is and tell me what that baseball looks like too. If I'm backing up bases, right, if I'm backing up third and home and guys are hitting doubles and crossing home plate, well, there's a good chance that baseball looks really good to them, but not really good for me. And those are the things you pay attention to. So if you're garnering weak contact early on and you're around the strike zone, you're getting some swing and misses, you're catching guys looking, so now you can check the box of deception, you've really kind of got the whole mix working. And sometimes you can take note of that in the fourth inning, fifth inning, you start to see a guy iron out the kinks. Well, that could be somewhere around the 75 pitch mark, 80 pitch mark at that point in time, and you're going, Dallas, that's a little crazy. Yeah, I know. But that's what settling in means, is it's taking you a little while to figure out that you don't have the slide piece, and you're going to have to really start moving the fastball around and then work in a changeup because you just don't have that swing and miss slider. So you need to get the soft contact. You need to start pitching backwards. Well, you might not figure that out till the fourth inning, God forbid. But if that's the case, you'd like to be able to work yourself through the outing if you're getting that sort of information that I just talked about, the weak swings, the swing and misses, the early contact. So I'm a huge fan of extending guys, but those are the two things that you have to pay attention to because, unfortunately, the numbers do bear out the lack of success third time through for some guys. And if you don't have the swing and miss capability, that's when that third time through really starts to creep up on you because guys the third time through will start to just eliminate a pitch if you haven't thrown it for strikes with frequency. And that becomes dangerous now because you've got big league hitters up there hunting a fastball or hunting a breaking ball that has just kind of spun all day. And that's what the numbers start to tell the think tanks up top. So as far as having a pulse on what's going on right here, right now, that's what the eyes in the dugout are for. And that's nothing that a calculator can punch out for you in real time. You have to be reading the swings. You have to let the game tell you what's going on. But the numbers can prepare you for what's around the corner. So there has to be a blend of the two.
With longtime MLB pitcher Dallas Braden. So you mentioned it. There's still some meat on the bone in terms of, you know, chasing that top spot in the American League. Tampa's likely going to hold on to it, but the White Sox are kind of lurking. The Athletics are lurking a little bit. The Twins are in that. The Yankees have had major injury problems, but they're starting to get healthy, and they've got the best arm, like as good as the Rays' three-pack of arms are going to be. None of them match Gerrit Cole. I mean, we witnessed that last night. And Tanaka historically has been really strong in the playoffs. He's healthy. He's going to be available for them for game two. If the Yankees are healthy and their staff is healthy and you can get Cole and Tanaka into, you know, multiple games in a five- or seven-game series, forget the three-game wild card, should the Yankees be considered the favorite in the American League?
Well, that's a huge if. That's a caveat that we have to pay attention to, the getting the Cole and Tanakas into multiple games, because there's no days off, boys. Remember that.
Right.
There are no days off. So you're not just going to be able to run a Gerrit Cole out there game one and then game five with no issues. Like, there's going to have to be some conversations here. And obviously that leaves no room for Tanaka, the game two starter, to do that. So it's going to be about what those guys can do, how they can limit the exposure of the bullpen, knowing that the bullpens are going to be as important as they have ever been in this postseason leading up to the World Series, specifically because they do not have, they being the teams, the option to rest guys, to sort of mail it in a blowout because this guy's going to eat up these mop-up innings right now. Every arm deployed has to be carefully thought out. You have to have a game plan and a schedule. That being said, maybe that's not been a strength of the Yankees, is the bullpen. They've got a guy down there who can get it done when he's right. So you like your chances in this early portion, this two-game set potentially out of three. Anything beyond that, for me, it's going to be an interesting go because there's just not the days off. There's just not the opportunity to manipulate the bullpen and starters. So it's going to be a very, very different postseason than we're used to.
Check out the Starting Nine podcast. Longtime MLB-er Dallas Braden always brings it. Always great to catch up with you, man. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Sounds good, boy. Take it easy.
Dallas Braden. Yeah, I mean, the Yankees, he makes a very valid point, though. You talk about a playoff run coming to an end before you even know it started. That's going to be the case with baseball. Like, they are going every single day, more or less. And that'll be the importance of trying to get a series done quick, right? Like getting a wild card, getting that done in two, getting the DS done in three, or if you can, you know, once you get into the AL and NLCS and it's a seven-game series, if you can get that done in four or five, you can kind of slow it down before the World Series. It's going to be quick.
I feel like these commissioners, now correct me if I'm wrong, they don't care who wins. They just want to get through it as quick as possible, so that they can say, "Hey, we finished our season. You know,
we did it. We got through it.
We fulfilled our contracts for TV, radio, whatever else, advertising, all of the things that come with it to help earn money for the business." I think
you're absolutely right. I think with the NBA, NHL, and MLB anyway, the NFL is still doing what they always do.
Yeah.
And that's the nature of the sport. You can't play every other night. So they are kind of prisoners to their own history and the nature of the sport. But I think you're right. I think Bettman, Silver, Manfred, they're like, I don't care who wins, how they win, you know, who's winning an MVP. It doesn't matter. Just get it over with so we can claim that we closed the book on 2020.
Yep.
You know, and I can't blame them for that.
I don't blame them. I agree because you've had 40,000 tests for COVID in the bubble in Edmonton and zero positives. So they've done something right there.
Absolutely.
And the league has done a fantastic job. Same thing with the NBA. Like, they're doing a great job just trying to keep these guys safe. And the quality of play has been fantastic.
It's been very good.
I think I read something today about the I don't know if you saw anything, Brian. Something about the major awards. Is it really fair to give out
Well, that's in baseball. Yeah, the idea that Luke.
Are they actually contemplating that, or are they just going
to
do
it? No, they're going to do it. They have to do it. Yeah, of course. I mean, it's a season. Like, yeah, it's not 162, but, COVID determined that. It's not like baseball determined that. It was the nature of the beast, and I think it's more, it's asterisk talk. That's what it is. Like if you win a Cy Young and you started 11 games, what is that? If you win it, you're not going to complain.
No, it goes in the trophy case just like everything else.
Absolutely.
I agree.
You're not going to complain. You'll take it and you'll run with it. Same thing with the MVP.
Yeah.
And that's just the nature of the beast. So, yeah, that's always going to come up and historically relevance, does it count the same way it would when Babe Ruth and Ted Williams and DiMaggio? That's what always happens with baseball. But it's a one-off. They played 60 games. Someone's going to win the MVP. Someone will get the Cy Young. I guess someone will get Rookie of the Year, and whatever. It's better than not having it. Like, would you prefer not to have the option and they never played?